Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly with you on a Wednesday night. I'm taking you up till 8 o'clock tonight. We'll have leading off coming up at 7:30. Phil's Rockies game 3 of their 4-game set tonight. This hour brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. A lot to talk about tonight. We'll obviously get into the Phil's. A couple of the debates that happened on WIP today, a fiery one between Jolly and Spike. I was driving in, and man, this is great radio. Make sure you check that out on the Odyssey app, 3:30 today. Tremendous stuff from both those guys. Both brought it today. We'll break that down. I'll score that debate coming up. But where we need to start is with the big news of the day. And I have this statement to open the show here. Like, the world can be a cruel place. The world can be an unfair place. It often is for many of us. And a lot of things that are just, a lot of things that are right, they aren't ruled that way. And a lot of times evil prevails. There are instances every day across the world where justice fails, where evil wins, and the true just side loses out. But I'm happy to report that today is not one of those days. Because in the end, despite the losers and the whiners and the babies and the evildoers trying to egregiously miscarry justice, justice was served. Today, the good side did win. Today is a day where light prevails over darkness, good prevails over evil. The tush push is saved. It's here to stay. And this is a night to celebrate. I mean, let's be honest. A lot of different reactions to this. I want yours. But the feeling, a lot of different reactions to this news to start. And most importantly, this is a massive win for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's my biggest takeaway from this to start. Not just the fact they won this battle, but most importantly, because of how important this play is for the Eagles. We talked about it a ton last night. I think if the Eagles lost this play, it would have been a killer. It really would have concerned me what this is going to do to this team, what this is going to do to this offense. I know they have a lot of talent. You know, they may have been able to find an alternative, but the bottom line is, you watch this team play over the last 3 years, this was a huge part of their offense. This was a huge part of what they do. This play gives them a significant advantage in one of the most critical parts of the game, which is short yardage. That's the most important thing. They keep the play. They're able to run the tush push. They will once again, undoubtedly, be the best short yardage team in football. That's a huge advantage for the Eagles. That's the biggest thing to start out here. Even if you still converted at a high rate, if it influences a few plays per year, that can cost you games. So that's the most important part, and that's the part I'm happiest about. Number two, I am so proud to have Jeffrey Lurie as the owner of this football team, because Jeffrey Lurie fought for this. And we will get into the behind-the-scenes passionate argument that Jeffrey Lurie made. Some of the quotes out of it are just unreal and make me just love this guy even more than I already did. But the league tried really hard to eliminate this. And if someone else owned the team, I think they would have. Make no mistake, this stayed in place largely because Mr. Lurie refused to give in. He refused to give in to the other owners, refused to give in to his colleagues. He stood up for what was right. He stood up for his organization. And he really set the tone for this back at the meetings last month when this first came up and the tush push was going to be voted on, was eventually tabled, and you knew at that point, Jeffrey Lurie really cared and he meant business. Here's what he said about a month ago when asked about the tush push and why he believed it should stay.
You know, I think for everybody, including myself especially, health and safety is the most important thing when evaluating any play. We've been very open to whatever data exists on the tush push, and you know, there's just been no data that shows that it isn't a very, very safe play. If it weren't, we wouldn't be pushing the tush push. But I think it's, first of all, it's a precision play. It's very practiced. We devote a lot of resources to the tush push. We think we have an unusual use of personnel because we have a quarterback that can squat over 600 pounds and an offensive line that's filled with all-pro players. And that combination with incredible detailed coaching with Coach Stoutland has created a play we can be very successful at. There's other ways of gaining that half yard, that yard. There's quarterback sneaks, other types. But we've been very, very good at it. It's a play that's available to every other team in the league. And I think it hasn't been used more than five times by almost every team in the league. Buffalo is an exception.
And Jeffrey Lurie set the tone back then that he wasn't going to take this line down. Followed it up today. He came prepared. He came with data. He fought back. He turned the nonsensical health and safety argument back on the owners. Peter Schrager of ESPN reports. Jeffrey Lurie gave a passionate speech in the room, was inspired, and made a plea for about a half hour for them to keep this in place. Diana Rossini says Jeffrey Lurie said in his speech, whoever votes to ban this play is taking liability for putting risk on our quarterbacks, saying it's so safe, it's so risk-averse, that you run another play, you're putting your quarterbacks at a greater risk than you are with the tush push. So I give him an incredible amount of credit, because that took balls, to be honestly. Usually, when the majority of the owners and the commissioner want something to happen, and make no mistake, Roger Goodell wanted this to happen, it usually happens. Being an NFL owner is in a lot of ways like being in the most exclusive fraternity. So many times, whether you want something or not, you will go along with the crowd to keep the harmony, to curry favor with the other owners. You don't want to get on people's bad side. Jeffrey Lurie refused to do that. He stood on business today, as the kids would say. He came prepared. He came ready to fight. He fought this every step of the way. And to me, this only adds to the legacy of Jeffrey Lurie being the greatest owner in Philadelphia sports history. He is a hero, and I'm proud to have him as the owner. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, your reactions to the tush push staying, what's the biggest deal to you? Obviously, keeping it for the offense is huge. Jeffrey Lurie, I think cementing himself as the greatest owner in Philadelphia sports history is number two. But thirdly, and even though the on-field impact is most important, what probably gives me the most satisfaction right now is the fact that all the whiners, all the babies, all the cowards, all the wussies with a W, is that they lost in the end. Through all the disingenuous arguments, all the BS, it's not safe, it's not good for the game, it looks like a rugby play, all the BS excuses that they used, they lost. And I can't help but think, Mark Murphy, you're a loser. Sean McDermott, you're a loser. Sean McVay, Raheem Morris, Matt LaFleur, you're all losers. The Eagles won out. All the ones that spoke out against this, you lost. The Eagles beat you again. And they proved they're the best again. And I'm just happy. I'm happy this is staying. I'm happy we have Jeffrey Lurie. I'm happy all the little babies out there lost. And I'm happy justice prevailed. And I want to know how you feel as the tush push is here to stay. I was here 24 hours ago. We were talking about it. I was panicking. I didn't think this is the show that we were going to have tonight. I thought this play was going to be banned. I was very upset about it. But the tush push is here to stay. It's a day for good prevailing over evil. Want to get your take. 215-592-9494. How big do you think this is for the Eagles? I think it's huge. I think if they had lost this play, this is something that would have significantly hurt them. And I think this is huge for their chances next season. They're guaranteed to be the best short yardage team in the NFL again. It's a really big deal. Would love to get your take. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Get to the phones coming up here. But Fran producing the show. Fran, are you as happy as I am about this? You should have seen me this morning when this news broke.
Wanted to bring this up first. My mother texted me at 2:02 p.m. today. She said, thank goodness TK won't be angry tonight.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Yeah,
I'm thrilled,
so
Fran.
My mom was keeping tabs. She was excited for your reaction, and I'm sure she's listening right now. And she's happy to be listening to a celebratory TK.
Well, good prevailed over evil today. There's no question about that.
As much as I wanted the tush push to stay, I like angry TK. I think it makes for good content. But I'm glad to get happy TK too. But I mean, obviously, I mean, I told you yesterday I didn't want it to be banned. I thought it would be. I still think the Eagles would have adapted eventually. But I mean, a team that's so good at this one play that you know, there's no data to back up. We've already talked about it a million times. The whole injury stuff, man. I'm right there with you. I'm still happy to have the play because we're so incredible at it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's a big deal. It's
no,
a big deal.
No, it's huge. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494, your reaction to the push staying. And again, Jeffrey Lurie is a hero. And we'll get into the details of this behind-the-scene meeting. Some of the quotes, honestly, they're pretty outrageous. But Jeffrey Lurie, obviously, really, really cared about this thing. And he had some aces up his sleeve here. And this is, I think, a really good day for football and for competition. I mean, honestly, because if this play was banned, it would have been a miscarriage of justice. There's no data to say it should be banned. There's no health and safety numbers to say this is an unsafe play. There was no reason to get rid of this play, aside from the fact that the Eagles are better at it than everybody else. And everybody else was jealous that the Eagles were able to do something that they were not able to do. And I'm glad that enough organizations out there had the guts to stand up for what was right. One in particular, we'll get to the next segment here, but just really happy this play is here to stay, because this would have been egregious. This would have been completely unfair to the Eagles. And the fact that it's here to stay, this is a massive deal. And I think this definitively makes the Eagles Super Bowl favorites again. That play's incredibly important. You cannot overstate how important it has been to their success the last couple years. This is them being able to convert in one of the most important elements of the game. Short yardage is incredibly important, man. And you look across the NFL, you see the amount of teams that can't pick up that 1 yard. You look at the AFC Championship game. The reason why the Eagles played the Chiefs instead of the Bills, because the Bills had a 4th-and-1, and they tried to do it, and they couldn't pick up that 1 yard. The fact that this is something that the Eagles are able to do at a higher level than everybody else, it's an advantage that they've worked at. It's something that they have perfected, and it would have been unfair for it to be taken away. I'm glad enough people had the guts and had the balls to do the right thing today. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. In a minute, we'll get to another element of this that I think just showed how prepared the Eagles were for this argument today, for this vote. We'll get to that in a minute, but first let's get it started on the phones with Thomas in Broomall. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Good, man. What's happening?
So, with the push, you know, I'm glad that we still have it. You know, the NFL's been around for over 100 years, and for a team not to think of a play like this just tells you, hey, it's creative. It should stay. I mean, teams punt on 4th-and-1, you know, a lot of the times. So, like, do you really want a team to punt or go for it? And I would say go for it, and this is the perfect play to have in the league. You know, it sucks that, I mean, it's good that no other team can do it but us.
Yeah, absolutely, Thomas. And the thing I just kept coming back to is it would have been horribly unfair for it to be taken away. Like, this is something that the Eagles have worked at. This is something that they perfected. Now, if everybody in the league was doing it, and it was just unstoppable for every team, I'd understand it a little bit more. But when it's just one team and it was clearly just about the Eagles, it would have been unfair for them to take this away from them.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, is this going to come up next year again to try to ban it a second time or a third time?
I'm sure. Thomas, I think this will be a topic of conversation every year until it is banned. Now, hopefully, the teams that voted against it today will continue to do that moving forward. But, you know, I'm honestly surprised that it did get through this vote today.
Yeah, and I got one point. So what I think it's going to be different next year. The only reason being is, you know, the Chargers, the teams that we didn't play this year. And these teams that have new coaches now, Ben Johnson's with Chicago, Harbaugh with the Chargers. When we do that play against them now being head coaches, they might be like, oh, yeah, I'm changing my vote because now I see it for my eyes. And they're going to go a different way. What do you think? And then I have one last point with the Sixers.
Well, yeah, I mean, that could be the case, Thomas. But I look at some of the teams today. I mean, the teams that voted in the Eagles' favor today, I mean, it wasn't in their best interest, clearly. But I think they did what was right. I mean, those teams decided to do what was right. And I give them a lot of credit for that. What else you got on the Sixers?
Gotcha. Okay, so Daryl Morey. So The GM. Okay. So Brian Daboll with the Giants, right? I don't know if he had some say on his picks for this year with Dart or whatever, with Daryl Morey. If he's not going to be here next year, I get he's still the guy and he has a right and a say who they pick. Wouldn't it be better just to not let him pick this third pick, so we can get a better shot next year? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you give the guy a responsibility to give us maybe a player that's not going to work out if he's not going to be here next year, maybe?
Well, yeah, Thomas, and I appreciate the call. I think that's a huge issue with this offseason. It's why I would have preferred to clean house and move everybody out. Because this is the problem that you get in, and, you know, we'll talk about the Eagles and why they're such a great organization more in a minute, but this is the advantage that, like, they have over other teams, is when you have a GM like Howie Roseman, who's never worried about his job security, it doesn't lead him to make rash short-term decisions that are going to hurt your team in the future. That's my biggest problem with the Sixers right now, is the Sixers, long-term, that should be what they're thinking about, is where are we 3 to 5 years down the road? Because they're not going to win with this core. I think we all know that. But when you have Daryl Morey and Elton Brand running things right now, they're going to make decisions that are in their best interest. They're going to make decisions that help them keep their jobs, even if they're not the right ones. I mean, signing Paul George last year is a great example. That was, when you really think about it in a vacuum, okay, signing a 35-year-old guy who's been a loser in the playoffs to a $200-plus million contract, that's not a smart decision. But it's a decision that you make when you have a front office that is worried only about the short term and only about keeping their jobs. That's a problem. And that's why, in part, the Eagles are such a great organization. And again, when you look at the tush-push thing, this adds the legacy of that team from last year. This adds to the legacy of this organization and why they're so great. And it's not just they won on the field. They won this vote. This proves they're the best organization in the league. And make no mistakes, the Packers thought going into this, they had the votes. Just look at every national reporter out there. Everybody had counted on this being pretty much banned today. It felt like a foregone conclusion going into today that this was going to get banned. But once again, the Eagles were more prepared than everyone else. And I woke up this morning, and the first thing I saw when I went to Twitter was this clip from Jason Kelce. And here was Jason Kelce this morning on New Heights talking to Travis about the tush-push ban and revealing that he was going to be in attendance today.
Obviously, there's the tush-push, which they are voting on banning. It feels like this is the most legitimate chance it's had since they've been voting on it to be banned. I'll say this. I'm actually going to Minnesota.
What?
So there were some things said at the last owners meeting. Some of the owners and coaches hinted that the reason I stopped playing was because of the tush-push and that I got hurt on the tush-push frequently.
What the f***?
I'm just going to answer any questions people have about my partaking in this play. I don't care whether it gets banned or not. I think that at the end of the day, this is why you vote on things. And if they vote to ban the tush push, the Eagles are still going to run quarterback sneak at a very high percentage.
92% exactly.
I'm just going to offer any type of, like, if anybody has any questions about the tush push or whether I retired because of the tush push, I'll tell you this right now. I'll come out of retirement today if you tell me all I got to do is run 80 tush pushes to play in the NFL. Do that gladly. It'll be the easiest job in the world, and it'll be like 80 some snaps.
First of all, unbelievable that someone, and this was revealed by Jimmy Kemsky of the Philly Voice, to be Bills owner Terry Pegula, that they would say that, like, basically spread rumors. Oh yeah, you know, this is why Jason Kelce retired, because this play is so detrimental to a center's health. I think the Eagles knew that would be used. And you know what they did? They said, this wasn't revealed before today. This is not anything anybody knew it was coming out. It's like if you're watching wrestling and during a match, some guy makes like a surprise entrance. That seems to be what the Jason Kelce thing was today, where Jason Kelce just pops up out of nowhere to defend the Eagles. They were prepared. They outfoxed the league again. And hey, the league knows they're the best. And they wouldn't be reacting like this if they didn't. And again, I'm glad the Eagles didn't take this laying down. This needed to be done. They needed to be able to stand up for themselves. I'm glad they did. The tush push lives on. And this is a great day for the Eagles. This is a great day for football. And I want to know if you agree. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Are you as happy as I am that the tush push is here to stay? And they brought it up during the afternoon show. What do you think that reaction is going to be on Thursday night against the Cowboys? The first time the Eagles line up to run that play. They got a 3rd and 1. They got a 4th and goal, something like that. Man, that's going to be electric down there as the tush push remains. And Jeffrey Lurie is a hero, once again cementing his legacy. Greatest owner in the history of this town. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. When we get back, we'll get to all your calls. Also, one team in particular that voted on the Eagles' side that I have a newfound level of respect for. And I give this team so much credit. We'll get to that when we return as well. I'm Tom Kelly with you until 8 o'clock. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you on a Wednesday night. As that's right, the tush push here to stay. The Eagles get enough votes. They end up winning this battle, I would say, against the greater part of the NFL, the majority of the owners, the commissioner. We'll get to some of the things Jeffrey Lurie said behind the scenes here. But, I mean, I would encourage everybody, go read Seth Wickersham's piece on ESPN, because you'll have a newfound love for the owner of this team. And, you know, for some owners, and we have some of them in this town as well, namely the owner of the Sixers, Josh Harris, they don't really care that much about the city. They don't really care that much about the teams. These are business ventures to them. Jeffrey Lurie cares about winning, man. And you could tell, we played the sound for you in the first segment, how much he cared about this when it was brought up at the meetings last month. He came prepared today, Jason Kelce in tow, to help make their case. And the Eagles end up getting this play to stay. And it's a huge deal. This is something that would have been a significant loss. Like, if you don't end up being able to run this play next year, you have to find out another way to convert in short yardage. This is a huge deal. And the fact that the Eagles fought it so passionately, a lot of owners wouldn't do that. A lot of organizations would have taken this laying down. I'm glad the Eagles didn't. And it's a huge deal going into next season for sure. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Go back to the phones in a minute here. And coming up, we will get to the team that voted on the Eagles' side that I think deserves a hell of a lot of credit for the stance that they took. But first off, just a banner day for the Eagles social media team. Right after this vote went final, they put up a 26-minute video on YouTube of nothing but tush pushes. Like, immediately. The second this thing was not banned, they put this video up on
They had it ready.
Yeah, so that person deserves a raise. They also post a picture on Twitter of the Eagles lining up for a tush push that says, push on, with the opponent being the Green Bay Packers, which is the best part of this. And this had nothing to do with the social media team or anything, but this is just like poetic justice here, is the way the vote broke down. And the Packers and the NFL needed 24 votes for this play to be banned. They get 22. So the final tally is 22-10, which was also the final score of the Eagles-Packers playoff game, which you just can't. You can't write it any better than that.
You can't write
it any better than that. So, unbelievable. The Eagles able to run the play next year, and it's a big deal. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Steve in Egg Harbor. What's up, Steve?
It's a nice day to gloat, isn't it, Thomas?
It is, Steve. I mean, this thing, you know, bothered me that it was even going to be voted on, and the fact that the Eagles win it, I think, is a big deal for the team. But even better, it's nice to rub it in everybody else's faces.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. And I know Detroit was one of the teams, because Dan Campbell even said, you know, we shouldn't be penalized. And so I give kudos to Detroit, because I believe they're one of the teams. I'm almost positive they were one that definitely voted for us. So, but, and to get Kelce to go in there was huge, too. I mean, it just goes to show you that, you know, like you said, our owner really cares about everything. And let's face the facts. The reason, you know, you know, we deserve this is because we're the innovators. And you know what? You can't penalize somebody for being an innovator. That's what's called evolution. That's what changes the game, these types of things. And you know what? Everybody's jealous because they can't do it like us.
That's exactly what it is, Steve. I mean, and that's been the basis of it the entire time. And that's why it bothered me that it got to a vote, because all these arguments were in bad faith. Like the whole thing about it being a rugby play, not being safe for the players. We all knew. And what bothered me more than anything is the people arguing against it all knew what the real reason was. And it was just because the Eagles were good at it and nobody else was.
But what I want to see us, if we go to Green Bay or in Buffalo, if we get first and goal on the 3-yard line, run it three times in a row, and right down your throat for a touchdown, and then just look at them and turn around, because that's what they deserve. Because let's face it, every one of those people who voted against it are soft losers, because they're just pissed because they can't do what we do.
And that's exactly right. That's exactly right, Steve. And I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. And something that Steve brought up there is important to note, because the teams that voted with the Eagles, and again, the Eagles needed at least 9 votes to keep the play. In the end, they got 10. Obviously their own. And then they got 9 others. The Ravens, Browns, Titans, Jets, Saints, Patriots, Dolphins, Jags, and Lions. A lot of football guys in there. You got John Harbaugh, Mike Vrabel, Kevin Stefanski, I think, is a football guy. But only 2 NFC teams. Now, one of which is the Saints. Makes sense. Kellen Moore would have been a massive fraud if he had voted against this. His organization had voted against it after he just, you know, kind of profited off this thing. By the way, Jonathan Gannon, Shane Steichen, dead to Philadelphia, officially. After, I mean, they partially have their jobs, especially Steichen, because of this play. And then you vote against it, you're a fraud. But the team that I find really interesting, and the team that I give the most credit to, is the Lions. Like, I have a ton of respect for the Lions for voting the way that they did today. Because let's face it, going into this season, and I know the Commanders had a cute little playoff run, the Eagles and the Lions are the two best teams in the NFC. Like, we all know that. They were the two best teams in the NFC last year. They're likely to be the two best teams in the NFC again this year. It was absolutely in Detroit's better interest to vote against it. Of course it was. Now, the way it would have broke down, the Eagles barely would have kept it anyway. But I give the Lions a ton of credit. And here was Dan Campbell, their coach, talking last month about the tush push and kind of his thoughts on the play.
What do you say on the tush push?
Yeah, I'm like, for me, I'm like, hey, man, they like, Philly obviously is known for this because, you know, they're the ones who've really kind of perfected it and done it, do it over and over. And I'm like, man, good for them. And if you got something, we got to stop it. So, like, to me, leave it in. And, you know, we play them this year. We got to find a way to stop it. And I like that. So.
Now, it's one thing to say it. Like, I think Jim Harbaugh had said something to the same effect. But it's another thing to actually vote along those lines. Like, you can say that publicly. But if you vote the other way, you know, you're not really standing behind your word. But it's another thing to back it up. And I will say this in the spirit of friendly competition here. Obviously, we play the Lions this year. We're going to want to kick their ass on that Sunday night game. This is a potential NFC championship matchup down the line. But if the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl this year, I want the Lions to win it. I give them a ton of credit because they chose what was right instead of what's better for them. I mean, Fran, you can't argue. The Lions, it would have been in their better interest to vote against this play. Absolutely.
1,000%. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, they're a contender. It would be definitely in the best interest of them to vote against it. So, I'm just as surprised as you are.
Yeah, so I give the Lions a lot of credit. I mean, Dan Campbell said that publicly, but again, you know, it's easy to come out and say that when the microphones are in front of you. It's a much different thing to come out and say it when and vote that way as well. Because honestly, let's be honest, this probably gives the Lions a worse chance to go to the Super Bowl this year than it would have otherwise. Because they're likely to see the Eagles at some point. We know they see the Eagles in November. They could very easily be seeing the Eagles in the postseason. I think these are the two most talented teams in the NFC when healthy. And hey, they voted for what they thought was right, and they deserve a hell of a lot of credit for that, because there are a lot of cowardly organizations out there that didn't do that and chose to go the other direction. So, you know, I have a newfound respect for the Lions, and we always knew Dan Campbell's a football guy. Dan Campbell gets to officially stamp that football guy card today one more time. We know he was already, but great job by the Lions to do what they did. Let's go to Eric in Haparil. What's up, Eric?
Hey, yeah, I'm thrilled that Tush Push wasn't banned. I would have been extremely angry. Matter of fact, I was waiting for them to ban it, so I could drive up to Green Bay and go beat up the general manager of the Packers.
Well, we're not endorsing violence here or anything, Eric. We don't want anybody beaten up, but they got figuratively beat up today. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, but it seems like for some reason, I don't know what it is, but every sports thing tries to screw our city. Like, we worked hard to get there, and they went ahead and.
You there, Eric?
We worked hard, to get our championships, and now they're trying to take away our hard work with
I don't know. No, absolutely.
Like their whiny little attitude. It's like, just because they can't beat our play.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, Eric, and I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. And this hour brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. And yeah, I mean, that is the biggest thing, is hard work deserves to be rewarded. And this is, again, why I come back to being just so proud that Jeffrey Lurie is the owner of this team. And let me read for you real quick a few details that came out of this meeting today. First one was from, I believe, Diana Russini. And they characterized Lurie like a boyfriend trying to convince his girlfriend to stay with him, which is just pretty funny when you envision that kind of going on behind closed doors. Also, Jeffrey Lurie, he apparently ripped Roger Goodell and ripped Troy Vincent for supporting the ban. Troy Vincent, I know he's a former teammate of Hugh and Ike here. Troy Vincent's out.
He's a fraud. He's a fraud.
Yeah, he's a fraud. Yep. He's out. This one is incredible, though. This is from Seth Wickersham in his piece. It says, toward the end of the speech that lasted close to an hour, Lurie made an analogy, telling the room that regardless of whether the play was banned, it was a win-win for the Eagles. And he added that it was like compared it to a wet dream for a teenage boy to create a play that was so unstoppable that it would be banned. I mean,
would never see that coming from Larry.
Could you imagine these? Like, it's hilarious when you imagine these words coming out of Jeffrey Lurie's mouth in a meeting to 31 other general managers.
It's an all-time quote from him.
It's an all-time quote.
Might be his best.
I mean, it's one of the top quotes in the history of Philadelphia sports.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
True.
And then he said, to end his speech, regardless of the vote, they'd walk out, head held high and rings on their fingers, because they're champions either way. So Jeffrey Lurie's the man. And man, this cements his legacy. Greatest owner in Philadelphia sports history. As if there was any question before, there's certainly not now. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Bam in Upper Darby. What's happening, Bam?
Yo, TK, what's going on? It's a great day to be a Philadelphia sports Eagles fan, bro.
It is, Bam. what spots are you hitting up tonight?
I'm not hitting nothing.
Taking it easy tonight?
Yep.
Okay.
Watching the Pacers beat the Knicks up.
Yeah, there you go. What do you got, Bam?
Yeah, man, I really think, listen, I was surprised Harbaugh from the Chargers didn't vote with us, because usually a Harbaugh's name goes a long way.
Yeah, I mean, his brother did, Bam. I guess there's only one football guy in the Harbaugh family left.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it just shows, like, a lot of these teams, they're going to vote along party lines, and I think that's what it was. I think Roger Goodell and the owners, they really tried to rally as much support for this as they could, and hey, they got a lot, but they came up a couple votes short, and this is the thing, man. If Jeffrey Lurie doesn't fight for this as hard as he did, I think it does get banned. I think the only reason it didn't is because Lurie fought it as hard as he did.
Yes. And to that point, right, that's why Howie said when he was doing a parade, I bleed for this city.
Yep.
I
bleed for this city! There you go.
Yep. And my debate point, right, I think Jolly won that thing, man. I really think I don't care what the Spike said.
No,
I think Jolly won that fair and square. And to be honest with you, Tom, Spike just gave me an idea with this Tush Push thing.
What's that?
About getting it. He said he's going to get the Tush Push tattooed on him. I'm about to get it done myself.
Well, I'm sure you will, Bam. I mean, you have plenty of tattoos.
Before you let me go, right?
Uh-huh.
Remember the other day we were talking about you and Buzz challenging things to each other?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, he said, remember, like, about the how Jack Fritz and DeCameron.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I really want y'all to try to go do a 9-ball challenge, race to 7.
What is that, pool?
Yeah.
I appreciate the call, Bam. I'm not much of a pool player. I mean, that has nothing to do with athleticism.
What, you versus Buzz?
Yeah. What does that have to do with athleticism?
Pool?
Playing pool. You don't have to be an athlete to play pool.
Do you have to be, just real quick, I know I don't mean to go off track, literally, but I was having this debate with my brother earlier. Are NASCAR drivers athletes?
Yes.
No.
Because you have to be physically fit to do that.
To do what? To drive a car?
Yeah. I mean, do you know how hot it is in that car?
Okay.
You have to be more athletic to do that than play golf, and playing golf is athletic as well. So.
Nah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm hosting the morning show with Buzz on Monday, which I'm sure that'll be great time for me. I have to sit with Buzz for 4 hours.
I'm sure, baby.
Yeah, we'll get, oh my God. I mean, he's just the most annoying person.
I disagree. I toast with Buzz like every once every couple of weeks.
I find him to be incredibly annoying. Like him too, but he's very annoying.
That's a rude thing of you to say. I would never say Buzz is annoying.
I mean, I've told Buzz this to his face.
He likes
face,
to talk,
so.
But he doesn't. He's not annoying.
Yeah, I think he's very annoying.
I wonder what you think of me.
Well, you're annoying too. I'll tell that to your face as well.
That's fine. I disagree with the Buzz thing.
I'll say this about you, friend. You're less annoying than Buzz.
Oh, thank you. That's huge.
You're less annoying than Buzz. 215-592-9494. Time for What to Watch For. What to Watch For brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go, only from Xfinity Mobile. And What to Watch For, I do need to score this debate today, because I was driving in at like 3:30, and an unbelievable debate between Spike and Jolly in regards to Daryl Morey and whether or not he's a good general manager. This did not disappoint at all. I had high expectations, and it reached all those expectations, if not surpassed them. And I said last night, I thought Jolly was a little underwhelming in the debate with Joe about Andrew Painter. I thought Jolly came out of the gates a little slow. He disappointed me a little bit. Jolly was not disappointing today. I mean, he came out firing. He had his bullets flying. And in the end, I score this one for Jolly. I think he's right. Daryl Morey has not been a good GM here. Paul George was a terrible signing. And, you know, the what else would you have done argument that has been made in Daryl Morey's defense, to me, that doesn't hold up. Like, if that's your best defense, that is not a good one. And that was not Spike's only defense. Spike had, you know, Daryl Morey's resume. And Daryl Morey's resume is very impressive. But Daryl Morey's resume here in Philadelphia is not impressive. Like, when we're looking at Daryl Morey and evaluating the job he's done here, I don't know. That's what I'm worried about. I'm not taking into stock all the things he did in Houston. Like, yes, he built a really good team in Houston. They choked in the biggest moments. But here in Philadelphia, I don't think Daryl Morey's done a good job. And again, when the argument would be, well, what else would you have done? I'm not the GM. Like, I'm not getting paid millions of dollars to make these decisions. Daryl Morey's getting paid millions of dollars to make these decisions. He needs to come up with the ideas that work. And signing Paul George last offseason, and this is one of the things Jolly pointed to, yeah, it was a terrible move. I mean, I don't care about, you know, you didn't have many other great options. I said last year what I'd have done, I'd have signed a bunch of role players, guys on one-year deals, whatever, tradable players, leave yourself some flexibility. When you sign Paul George and you get into this situation where you're basically pot committed to Paul George and Joel Embiid, that was never a good solution. And maybe I'm a little biased coming into this here, because generally I find Daryl Morey off-putting and annoying. But I'll score that one for Jolly today. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Jay in West Philly. What's up, Jay? Jay, did we put Jay to sleep or is that his car?
Pretty sure it's his car.
What's up, Jay? Yeah, Jay, I don't know what's going on with Jay.
Well, you thought he was snoring?
Well, at first I thought that was a snore.
I thought so,
then
too.
It sounded like he was in a car. Hopefully he's not asleep at the wheel.
That would not be good.
Yeah, that'd be
the
worst case
scenario.
We
don't condone that.
Yeah. Well, Jay, just let us know you're all right, Jay. That's all I care about. Let's go to Kevin and Ben Salem. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how you doing? Let me take you off the speaker real quick. I'm sorry.
No problem. What's going on?
So what would be best at the beginning of the year is that the Eagles' just first play would be the tush push. Just throw it in everybody's face.
Well, I think, Kevin, I think then we're getting a little overboard. I mean, we have games to win here. This is about business, but the first time we'll need to use it in that first game at some point. A little patience. We don't want to waste the first play of the game.
All right, how about against the Packers?
No, I wouldn't do a first play. No. Well, it'll come up. You got to let it come up organically, man. You can't force it. The play will come up organically throughout the course of the game. I'm sure we will have our opportunity to run the tush push down their throat in Lambeau at some point.
All right, good deal, sir. Have a good night.
All right, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, I've heard people say that, come out, run the tush push first play. We don't need to do that. We don't need to resort to the level of these other teams. It will come up organically throughout the course of the game. And, you know, again, that first night that the Eagles have an opportunity to run it against the Cowboys, the crowd is going to go insane. And this is the best part of all of this is – somehow, like the NFL has made this a bigger deal, and I feel like they've made the Eagles even stronger in regards to the tush push, because now you look at it, and I mean, this is something that the fan base is going to rally around, and they're going to get fired up about it even more than they were previously. And you know, in this town, yeah, we can rally around stuff and kind of make it a big deal. Let's go to Jay again. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, TK?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. So, I'm with you, but we can sacrifice one play the first game of the year. And as a matter of fact, I wanted to go tush push to every team that we play that voted the ban. The first play of each game, we go tush push on every team. I'm saying take the penny to an all-time level, because we don't know what it was like to be in the Eagles organization. Like, they picked at it, you know, like they were very petty with this. They made up lies. To throw Kelce's name in there and say that he retired over it, it's crazy.
That, to me, Jay, that to me is absurd. Like, the fact that apparently it was the Bills owner, Pegula, that had spread that rumor around. I mean, that's crazy to me that they would do that.
We've heard Sean McDermott talk out the side of his neck, so we can only imagine what memes are like with those two clowns.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that. So, yeah, I'm cool with running it, you know, like I said, literally the beginning of every game. Also, Daryl Morey's, I'm with Jolly. Jolly is right, man. Daryl Morey is not good. So Spike is the type that he'll take a little bit of what you said, and then he'll that's your main point. He said it's 50 games, winning 50 games a year, something. The Sixers were winning 50 games a year with Doc Rivers, and nobody wanted, and we were losing in the second round. So is that cool?
Yeah, that's no, cool. Jay, I think Jolly was right about that. People don't care if he wins 50 games. Yeah. I mean, that's not something that, especially with the Sixers, like, we've seen that, you know, for the last 5 years, and nobody's satisfied.
The funny thing is, like, in 20 years, nobody remembers the Sixers teams that won 50 games and lost in the second round. Nobody's going to be like, oh, yeah, that year we won 50 games, though. No, that's absurd, man. Yo, Spike, you said Buzz is annoying. Spike can be very annoying.
Well, Jay, I appreciate the call. I don't agree with that. I think Spike made some good points toward the argument today. I just, in the end, and again, maybe I'm biased coming in, I agree with Jolly. I thought Jolly made some good points. It was a great debate, though. I mean, make sure you go back and listen to it.
I love Jolly. I thought he was just doing a bunch of yelling. I thought Spike won.
Okay. Well, fair enough. And maybe Jolly did win me over with that.
But Jolly was hilarious. He was entertaining.
That's what I want from Jolly.
So Jolly,
I want Jolly to yell. I want him to scream hot take. That stuff is what I come for.
Yeah. So
like to hear Jolly, you know,
speak like that.
Yeah. So I was going to say real quick.
Not well phrased on my part.
Yeah. No, I would say Jolly won the war. Spike won the battle.
Yes.
That's how I view it.
Okay. Well, you'd say the other way around.
No, that's, well, is it, okay, so I would say Jolly won the war, Spike won the battle. No, is it the other one?
Yes, the other
one. But like, what I'm saying is true, though. That's all. That's all that matters.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just messed up the saying.
Nah, you got to go to break.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Get back to your calls when we return. Also, another interesting piece of news with the Eagles involving this upcoming season, which is going to be fun to monitor. We'll get to that. Also, some more stuff about Jose Alvarado and his situation, and a question that I want to throw out there in regards to Alvarado as well. So we'll get to that. Tom Kelly with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly with you on a Wednesday night, taking you for another half hour here up till 7:30, and then we'll have leading off, getting ready for the Phillies and Rockies game 3 of the 4-game series tonight, as the Phils facing another Rocky starter with this one with an 11.25 ERA. I don't think the Phillies have faced a Rocky starter with an ERA under 6 so far in this series. And the Phils have done what they're supposed to do against a team like this. I mean, they have dispatched the Rockies pretty easily last couple nights. Hopefully they can do so again tonight. We'll get you set with everything you need to know coming up at 7:30 with leading off. You want to get in, 215-592-9494, how you join the show. Obviously talking a lot about the Tush Push tonight. The Tush Push is here to stay. The votes to ban it do not pass. They get 22 of the 24 votes needed to abolish the Tush Push, and the Eagles able to make their case. And, I mean, the more that's coming out from this, it's really funny stuff. Apparently, Jeffrey Lurie, during his hour-long statement, was asked by 49ers executive Jed York how much longer they need to listen to this bleep. And, you know, I'm sure they did get tired of hearing Jeffrey Lurie make the case for it. But, hey, I mean, this shouldn't have been a topic to begin with. And I am proud that we have an owner that honestly cares this much. Because a lot of owners, I mean, sure, they want their teams to win. Most owners aren't going to go through all these hoops to try to keep this play. You know, for the most part, they're going to go along with their buddies. This is a very tight-knit group here where they typically are aligned on things. But Jeffrey Lurie, he didn't take this line down. And eventually, will this play get banned? Potentially. I mean, it might at some point, but it won't for this year, and that's huge for the 2025 Eagles. This is an advantage that they have over every other team in the NFL. I don't know if they'd have those same advantages if this play were to go away. I don't know if they'd be able to find an alternative that worked nearly as well. I mean, sure, we look at it and we say they have great players, they have a really good coaching staff, and all that's true, but the level of efficiency in which the Eagles were able to run this play, it would have been impossible to replace. There's no way they would have been able to convert at the same clip. So keeping it around, it's a huge win for the Eagles and a big deal. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. A few things we'll get into before we get out of here, including the Eastern Conference Finals, Knicks-Pacers series coming up tonight. One side I like a lot, but worried about one element of it. So we'll get into that. We'll break that down before we get to leading off at 7:30. But one more thing real quick before we get back to the phones. Just some other updates from this meeting. One of the other rule changes on the table was potential playoff seeding differences, where instead of the top four seeds going to the teams who win their respective divisions, it would have been straight by record, where every team that won their division would get in the playoffs. But you could have, say, a team wins the division at 9-8. They could be the 7th seed because they have the worst record. That did not pass. So the division winners will all get a home game. I support that decision. I think if you win a division, even if your record's not as good, hey, that's going to be volatile year to year. You win your division, you should get a home playoff game. So that stays in place. And the other big announcement, the Bills will be on the Hard Knocks preseason version, but they do the Hard Knocks in-season version now. That, I'm not going to lie, I haven't watched it since they've started doing it. I'll watch it this year because they follow a division Last year, I think it was the AFC North they did. This year, they're doing the NFC East. So it'll be the Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, Commanders. Kind of behind the scenes during the year. I think it's like November, December, and throughout the rest of the season. So that'll be really interesting to see. We'll get some behind the scenes stuff. I remember the Eagles did the Amazon show back in 2019 where you got some of that. But that should be really interesting this year. And one more thing is Jerry Jones, who, you know, it'll be interesting to see the Cowboys behind the scenes on that Hard Knocks. But Jerry Jones asked about Micah Parsons and the latest on his contract situation. This is what Jerry Jones said. They haven't talked in 4 or 5 weeks, but Jerry Jones said he's got a contract. That's the point. Be sure and clear about that. So it sounds like things are going great in Dallas. Jerry Jones already said he's not going to talk to Micah Parsons' agent, even though that's the agent's job to handle contract negotiations. Doesn't seem like they're making any progress, and I don't know. To me, it's a curious way to handle your star player and your best player by basically alienating him and saying, yeah, we're not even going to talk about your contract. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Anthony in Fishtown. What's up, Anthony?
Gentlemen, can I just say, I'm stuck in traffic on 76 on my way home from work. The weather is absolutely awful, and it still feels like it is a great day in the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Anthony. I think it's awesome that this place here to stay, because I think part of it is, I think most of us had already admitted defeat. At least I did. I was on last night. I thought
I
it was
sure
a foregone
yeah.
conclusion that this play was going to be banned today.
100% agree, but can I just weigh in? Can we talk about how much of an absolute rat Sean McDermott truly is? It really blows my mind. I mean, granted, I understand once you get to a professional level, you know, ties and stuff to back home probably does change, but it really blows my mind being from where he's from and how he grew up, and then obviously working with the organization for close to 10 years. And then obviously, like, even to now, like, he's one of the very few teams that actually has tried to run the play and has clearly not been successful.
Yeah, I totally agree, Anthony. And that's the thing. I mean, the Bills were seemingly one of the teams that was really spearheading this. And I'll tell you what, they better not run it one time this year. Honestly, if they have such concerns about the health and safety, as Sean McDermott said, they better not run this play at all.
I agree. And my last question probably is just out of, because I guess it's 19 other than us. I mean, do you think we still see the play trying to be ran by other offenses, or do you think it's going to just really just be the Eagles, and then obviously next year it's just going to be another vote for this ban?
No, Anthony, and I appreciate your call, man. Thanks. I think teams are going to try to run it. I absolutely think teams are still going to try. And this is how you know it's BS, because it's not a health and safety issue. And these teams that came out and kind of made that point, I guarantee you they're going to try to run it next year. And the one team in particular, the Bills, they look like clowns in all this. I mentioned earlier, Pegula, the owner, essentially spreading a rumor that Jason Kelce retired because of this is honestly just kind of crazy behavior, to be honest with you. But here was Sean McDermott talking last month about the tush push and why he believed it should be banned.
Yeah, I mean, I feel, I think, similar to how I felt at the combine. I've dove deeper into more of the data on it, and just thought more about it as well. And my position hasn't really changed at all. I feel where I'm most concerned is, even though there's not significant data out there to this point, my biggest concern is the health and safety of the players. First and foremost.
What are you seeing with the health and safety of the players? Since, as you said, there is really no data to say there's injuries. Like, what are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you get in, it's two things. It's force, added force, number one, and then the posture of the players, being asked to execute that type of play. That's where my concern comes in.
Well, we're going to find out very quickly whether Sean McDermott is a liar or not. Because if he's so concerned about the health and safety of his players, and mainly his quarterback, you can't put Josh Allen at that kind of risk. Like, if you're really that worried about it, you can't run the play now. So my guess is that the Bills will run it. I think all suddenly, you know, the season will come about. I think all these health and safety concerns that they have will go away relatively quickly here and magically. You know, the Bills and a lot of these other teams that were so concerned about the safety of the players, I think that's going to go away because, I mean, teams are going to do what's in their best interest. And that's really what this whole thing's been about. Is teams doing what's in their best interest. And that's why I'm so impressed by what the Lions did. Like, the Lions voting with the Eagles is something that is absolutely not in their best interest. And I guarantee you, there are probably Lions fans tonight who might be kind of annoyed that they voted the way that they did because it hurts their chances. Let's be honest. I mean, they're going to need to play the Eagles this season. We know in November. Maybe in the playoffs as well. I think these are the two best teams in the NFC, and that's why I'm really impressed by what they did because they said, you know, forget our chances. We're going to do what's right, and I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. Let's go to Vince in the Northeast. What's up, Vince?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? I gotta be honest, man. I'm super fired up that this didn't get banned, and I really truly believe it would have been a real stain on the NFL if they would have allowed this to happen, because all it is one team's really good at it, a bunch of teams aren't good at it, and people are butthurt about it, and that's what it really boils down to. And I'm elated, man. I'm fired up. I'm so glad that this play's here to stay for at least another season. And I have a kind of a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think we see teams, especially teams that voted against it, like if we run the tush push against these teams that voted against it, do you think we'll see players going down? You know what I mean? Going down with an injury. So now there's some data or there's some analytics behind it. Like, oh, this is a dangerous play.
Like a phony injury. Like you run it against the Packers and their defensive tackle acts like he gets hurt.
And next thing you know, the DN and the D tackle are down. And then next thing you know, it's just a thing that happens all season. All these teams that voted against it and all the teams that we're going to play. And next thing you know, Oh yeah. There's true data behind this. There's real analytics. There's something to this. This is a dangerous play. Just to kind of spearhead and have Goodell really get behind it, like this is a dangerous play and we got to get it out.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory, Vince. I hadn't really thought about that, but I'm sure you know some of these teams will do some of that, and there will be some gamesmanship because I'll tell you what, man, this story's not over. Like, there's no way this story ends with this getting voted through today. I mean, that means it's here to stay this year. I'd be honestly shocked if this wasn't a big topic again next year at the meetings.
The other thing that bothers me, especially when it comes to the whole tush-push thing, is if, especially for someone like Buffalo, if Josh Allen rolls down in the pocket, he's scrambling, and he gets met with a linebacker, and the linebacker's holding him up, and then the 10 other players from the defense come to finish that tackle, that's arguably more dangerous of a play than the tush-push will ever be.
Way more dangerous. It's not even close.
You've seen it with Devontae Smith last year. Ran the short route across the middle against New Orleans. No whistle was called. Next thing you know, you got a safety coming up and burying them. That's a dangerous play. A tush-push with a matter of 1 yard to gain is not a dangerous play. And I'm fired up, and I honestly run it every play for the entire season next year. Go
yeah,
Birds, baby.
I hear you, Vince. I appreciate the call. And yeah, I mean, and that again is where Jeffrey Lurie, you know, part of what he said today. He said, basically, he told the owners, if you ban this, the blood's on your hands. Like, if you ban this and we have an injury to a quarterback, you are responsible for that. You are liable for that. Because, you know, we all knew. And Jeffrey Lurie, I give him so much credit for basically saying it to the other owners' faces. Yeah, this health and safety stuff is not real. It's a lie. That this isn't, you have no data behind it. You have nothing to support your argument here. And the fact that he said that in the meeting today, I give him a lot of credit for. And this is something he said also last month at the meetings. Here's Jeffrey Lurie last month talking about the health and safety of it and how there's really no data to support that this is a dangerous play.
You said if there's injury concern, you'd be concerned.
I would.
Do they have to show you more than that it's more dangerous than a quarterback sneak in order for you to buy that?
Absolutely. I mean, I want to know what data there is. I don't think there is any. If you want to say that it could be, it's hard to make rules on could-bes and should-bes. you know, the quarterback sneak is one of the reasons we like using the tush push is we think it's a safer play than the quarterback sneak. The quarterback sneak, if you talk to quarterbacks about it, there's more spearing going on. They're less protected by players around them. And one of the reasons we got motivated to develop an expertise in this play is it was more protective to the quarterback. And so it's ironic that, you know, people would bring up health and safety. We're at the top of the game in terms of wanting health and safety on every play. We voted for hip drop tackle and defenseless receiver. We will always, always support what is safer for the players. It's a no-brainer. If this is proven to be less safe for the players, we will be against the tush push. But until that's the case, to me, there'd be no reason to ban this play.
And that's basically what he told them today. And, you know, that is the right argument. Everybody knows that. Like, the other owners know that. They know their argument's been in bad faith the whole time. And I'm glad that he argued for it and stood up for his team as forcefully as he did. Let's go to Andy in Deptford. What's up, Andy?
TK, my guy, we live, we hot.
We hot, Andy. What's up?
Yo, as far as the Jolly Spike, yeah. I mean,
Fran, I don't think Fran likes We Live, We Hot. By the way, Andy,
that is not true.
He was shaking his head.
That is not true whatsoever.
Here's the thing, Jolly and Spike TKO all day, Jolly. I mean, you can't defend Maury, who since he's came to Philly, the team has got worse. Has anybody noticed that? I mean, we're nowhere near where we were when we inherited them. But I don't want to waste my time on an argument that was won by Jolly, a guy that's hardly ever on the air. But as far as the tush push goes, I mean, extremely ecstatic about that. I mean, I think so much of the buildup against it was just because it was us that were dominant on a play that nobody could stop. You know, just because it was two-time Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles that everybody loves to hate and has the best fans. That's why I think it got so much traction. And it's just kind of funny that the league – is trying to make their lead argument that it's a play in which is injury prone, which no data supports that. But I mean, also where you got players playing Thursday night and then you got guys playing on Sunday. I mean, I don't think that's really healthy or best for your body when you really have no time to recover. So, I mean, I think the league, you know, a rule that really should have maybe went through is where the reseeding. I like that.
Well, Andy, and that's the thing, as far as the health and safety stuff, it's all hypocritical. I mean, this year, another rule that was passed is touchbacks are going to come after the 35. What's that going to do? That's going to encourage more kickoff returns.
Exactly. Kickoffs
are one of the most dangerous plays in football. Like, if you ever played football from when I played football, I hated running down the field on kickoffs. It was terrifying.
Oh, and TK, you middle linebacker, you wasn't in there being the wedge buster?
Oh, I'd much rather be a middle linebacker taking on a fullback than running down the field on a kickoff. That's terrifying. Yeah. That's one of the most dangerous plays there is. So it's all hypocritical. It was never about health and safety.
Yeah. The league, you know how the league's about making money. Come on now. But I want to switch it up real quick, too. You know, we always got stories to where we kind of change our opinions. You know, at that, look at that run that Foles had. You know, going in when Wentz got hurt, Foles gets in there. You know, I mean, that Super Bowl performance, our minds are forever changed with Nick Foles, right? I mean, so you can be changed. Where I look at a guy like Shador, right? Shador Sanders, you know, I'm not going to lie, going into the draft, dad was kind of not putting the kid in his best situations. And, you know, he had a lot of swag, had a lot going against him. But with him and the opportunity he has, my mind fully switched on him. I'm pulling for that kid to go in there, win that spot, prove everyone wrong, you know, win Rookie of the Year, and show the league what he's all about.
Well, Andy, I hear you. I appreciate your call. Shador Sanders isn't winning the starting job in Cleveland. I don't even think Cleveland wanted to draft him. Like, I think the owner, you know, basically made them. I mean, if you see the GM and the head coach after they made the pick, they didn't look enthused. They literally drafted a different guy the round earlier. So I'll tell you what, though, that's a weird quarterback situation. You got Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders. I forget who the other guy is.
Deshaun?
Deshaun Watson maybe coming back from the injury. Right. They have somebody else, too. I just forget who it is. Kenny Pickett, of course.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, what a very weird quarterback situation. Should everybody not even make the team, to be honest with you?
Practice squad guy?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, maybe somebody will pick him up if they caught him. Who knows? Let's go to David. What's up, David?
Tom.
What's up, man?
Oh, my gosh. It's great to talk to you now. I've been listening, of course, to you and for a long time. And
thanks, man.
Everybody else, you know, all the way back. Way back. So I'm so glad that this happened because I think it's right. And, of course, you've been pushing for it for a long time. And you hit the jackpot because you got it right. And you also got it right about Jeffrey Lurie. So lucky to have an owner that cares so much about his team and the people and everything, you know. I mean, he has lots of money. He could be out in the Bahamas, you know, not worry. You know, no. He wants to make things right for the team, for the people, for everybody.
Well, and this is now, the thing, David, too, is a lot of owners, they don't want to make enemies. Like, they want to play nice with everybody. And Jeffrey Lurie, obviously, he put his relation, and I'm sure he has relationships with all these guys, he put that on the back burner for the goodness of his team. I don't think all owners would do that.
No, I mean, we're very lucky that Jeffrey Lurie is so involved with the Eagles and every aspect. But at the same time, of course, he knows enough to know that the people he hired to let them go. But anyway, let's get to the next deal. Even if you did ban it, right, they're going to say no more pushing, no more this. Well, then what about the people pushing the guy when he catches a pass over? It gets real complicated, real muddy.
Yeah, David.
And
I appreciate the call, David. Thanks. It would have been real complicated for them to do this and for them to figure it out. And, you know, that's why it really had no basis to begin with. And it's why it's so important that it's staying. Let's go to Matt in Doylestown. What's up, Matt?
How you doing? Hats off to Jeffrey Lurie. I didn't think he had it in him. And mad respect to him for keeping the tush push.
Mm-hmm.
I listened earlier to the debate between Spike and Jolly. Spike maintained his cool, but I think at the end, Jolly summed up what a train wreck the team has been. At the very end, he summed it up. And so I think, even though he was very bombastic, as he usually is, I got to admit, the greatest quote in like the history of me listening to this station for the last 30 years was years ago when Jolly was live on the air. And this guy called in and said, yeah, I was in the army and I freed this Japanese concentration camp. It turned out that Jolly's mother was freed by this guy.
Wow, really?
The guy goes on to talk about the Phillies. And Jolly's response is etched in my brain. Jolly says, as much as I'd like to agree with the guy who freed my mother from a Japanese concentration camp, I have to disagree with you. And I just thought, it is etched in my brain, Jolly is always right, and it's that you guys gotta find that clip.
Well,
it is classic.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out, Matt. I appreciate the call. A lot of support for Jolly tonight. Gotta say.
Told you, he won the war.
Yeah.
I don't think he won the argument, but I think he won the war.
Okay, so you said he lost the battle.
He lost the battle, but he won the war.
I understand what you're saying now.
I said it earlier, and you just...
I still think you were a little confused.
No, I knew what I was saying. Okay. I might have not said it in the most obvious way, but I was right.
All right. Well, fair enough. Well, we'll get to leading off coming up in a minute here, but I did want to just talk briefly about the series starting tonight. You got the Knicks and Pacers Eastern Conference Finals, and I think this is going to be a great series. I'm really excited to watch this one. They met in the playoffs last year. The Knicks won that series, or the Pacers won that series, rather. I believe in 6, maybe in 5 last year. But the Knicks kind of ran out of gas. They were honestly pretty beaten up after that Sixers series in the first round. And the Pacers took them down. Now, you look at this series. The Knicks are the favorites. They're at minus 152. The Pacers, the comeback on them is plus 128. Now, I'm conflicted on what to do in this series. Still, a half hour before game one, I am really tempted to put a bet on the Pacers to win the series. I think the Pacers are the better team. I think they're the deeper team. I absolutely want the Pacers. I don't want to deal with these insufferable Knicks fans if they're able to punch their ticket to the finals. But we saw what happened in the lottery last week. That thing was rigged. I don't care how many people say that it was that it wasn't rigged. It was rigged. There's nothing that can convince me that it wasn't. This is a backdoor deal between the NBA and the Mavericks. Trade Luka to the Lakers. You scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. They give the Mavs Cooper flag. What, you don't believe that was rigged, Fran?
Dude,
are you kidding me?
Rigged.
It was rigged. It was absolutely rigged.
Oh my
rigged.
Gosh, this is all conspiracy theories.
This is the only thing that's preventing me from placing a bet on the Pacers. I don't trust the NBA at all. I worry they're going to rig this series for the Knicks. I really do. Like, the
They're
Pacers
not.
Are the better team. You know the Knicks are going to get every call, especially these games in the Garden. And I'm just calling it right now. Just be on the lookout for the refs in this series because they're going to try to rig this thing for the Knicks. You think they want the Pacers in the finals instead of the Knicks?
The Knicks should have been in the finals last. When the Knicks are playing well, it's good for the NBA, but they've sucked for the last 30 years.
Exactly.
So why haven't they helped them in the last 30 years? Why all of a sudden?
You've got to be good on your own somewhat to get to this point. I mean, the Knicks have stunk. You can't make an awful team good.
Man.
Yeah,
literally.
You can't.
Why didn't they help them in the 90s?
Because they didn't have good enough
teams.
All
right, yeah.
And they had Michael Jordan. You think they wanted Michael Jordan to lose? Who do you think they won the finals? Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers or Jalen Brunson and the Knicks?
You're right. I mean, it would be better for the Knicks to win, but like...
Even though I think the Pacers are actually really fun to watch, but regardless.
Yeah, you're too much.
Well, my bet would be Pacers in six. I can't pull the trigger, though. I'm too worried about another rigging by the NBA. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. When we get back, we'll have leading off, getting you ready for the Phillies and Rockies. Game three of the four-game series tonight. Leading off coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.